I want to welcome you in the name of the Lord. In these three nights, I wanted to talk about what's probably the best known verse in Scripture. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. One of the reasons that I want to talk about this verse over the next few days is because it's used to depict a false God. Not the God of Scripture, but a God that people want to have exist. They want to say, not God so loved the world, but that God loved everybody. But that's not what Scripture says. Which is why everyone must fear God. Because there is a day when Jesus Christ is coming. When He comes, He will collect His faithful to heaven. And He will take those who reject them and cast them into eternal hell. I want to make sure you understand John 3:16. Because it's crucial to understand John 3:16 so you can know where you are. Whether God is going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. When you stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Or He's going to say, depart from me. You who practice lawlessness. John 3:16 wasn't said without much context. So over these next three nights, I want to walk through. So we can understand what John 3:16 means in the context of what Jesus was saying. So if you have a Bible, please turn to John 3, starting in verse 1. It starts with a man named Nicodemus. Verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The Pharisees were the learned men of Israel and Judah. They were the ones that studied the Scriptures and memorized the Scriptures. It was normal for them to have memorized Genesis through Deuteronomy. They knew the Scriptures. They knew them probably better than anyone, and they can hear my voice. And Nicodemus wasn't just a Pharisee. He was one of the 70 that ruled Judah. He was one that was recognized by all the people as a great Pharisee. Verse
2.
This man came to Jesus by night. So here's this great man, this man who is supposed to know the scriptures so well.
And
the light of the world comes to Judah. And he's afraid to be seen with him. Think about that. He spent all of his life studying the Word of God. And the Word of God comes to him. And instead of fearing God, he fears man. So he has to come to Christ by night. This is who Jesus Christ said, "For God so loved the world." He won't walk in the light. He won't openly acknowledge the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Instead, he sneaks in the darkness so nobody can see. So his position won't be affected. Because they were already plotting to kill Jesus Christ. And so he has a problem. He knows Jesus is from God. So he says to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who comes from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." He knows the scriptures. He knows that the Messiah is the one who can heal the lame. He can cause the blind to see. He can cause the deaf to hear. He's healed the sick. Nicodemus has seen all these things. But he's still more afraid of man than of God. So Jesus speaks to him where he is. And he says to him in verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." He is saying, this is truth. That it cannot be denied. He's emphasizing, this is the reality of the world. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. A crucial concept to understand is that everything in the world was ordered so that we can understand God. The reason that a man marries a woman is so that we can understand Christ and the church. The reason that a man is born from a father is so we can understand God the Father and God the Son. God ordered all things to point to who He is. God ordered all things to point to Himself. When you want to be able to feed yourself, you go out and put a seed in the ground. You water that seed. And it breaks down, it decays. And then life comes from it. And then you can live. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. God ordered every bite you take to testify of who He is. Of your need for someone to die so that you can have life. And God ordered how a child is born. So that you can understand what it means to be born again. Think about the birth of a child. One of the basic things is who labors in the birth of a child. How much effort is the child making to be born? It's not the baby that births himself. It is the mother who gives birth to the child. It's the mother who gives birth to the child. We do not cause our own salvation. Any more than you caused your first birth. It is the work of God. And not the work of man. It is a gift from God, lest any man boast. Don't boast about your salvation. Don't boast about how wise you were to choose God. Unless you're willing to also boast about how wise you were to choose your parents. God created the world to testify to who He is and what He does. Let's think about being born some more. How different is the baby before he's born and after he's born? He breathes, he has a heartbeat, he can then, his muscles strengthen, he can walk, and he's completely different than he was in the womb. It is a vast difference between a baby in a womb and a child breathing before you. Don't minimize the difference between not being born again and being born again. Don't minimize the difference between not having been born again and being born again. God has testified through the world what the huge difference it is. And people want to say, there's no difference if you're saved.
mutane suka iya cewa ai babu bambanci ko an cece ka.
That they're caught in the same sins, but they've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what Nicodemus is saying. He studied the scriptures. He knows them better than we do. And Jesus' first thing that he says to him is, you must be born again. You must be a different creature. If you walk down the street and you see a child, you can tell if he's from a poor family or a rich family. How much more can you tell the child of God from the child of the devil? God ordered the world so we can understand what he does. He did not look around and say, oh, there's somebody giving birth. I'll use that as an example of salvation. He said, I want people to understand how significant salvation is. So I will make this 9-month process that has so many problems in it, that ends with great pain, so that we can understand how significant it is to be born again. Most assuredly, I say to you, you must be born again. You must be born again. And the process is so frequently painful. I've had at least 3 or 4 people that I know of that in preaching the gospel to them, they wanted to kill themselves. They spent days struggling with whether they should kill themselves. And then God showed mercy on them. To be born again is frequently very painful. Because Jesus Christ said you have to die to yourself. You have to lose your life in order to find it. There's no other way. So often the church thinks that you give a message. You call everybody to come forward and accept Jesus Christ. And they minimize the pain in being born again. Most people, it's a process similar to being born the first time. They're given life. They're not life, but they've given a spirituality. So that their eyes are open and their ears can hear and they have a heart that starts to understand who God is. And then they seek Him and they struggle with where they are and they struggle with who God is. And frequently they wrestle with it for months or for years. And then one day they're given the peace that surpasses all understanding. Because they've actually been born again. It's hard to be born again. It means that your life will be completely different. The Pharisee Nicodemus didn't think that was necessary. He doesn't say a word about it, but Jesus Christ knows Nicodemus doesn't think it's necessary. So Nicodemus in verse 3 says to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? He doesn't understand the basic thing that I was saying you must understand. God put these physical things in front of us. Like light. So that we can understand that God is light. And evil is darkness. And evil will flee from before the light. He doesn't understand that God ordered the world to testify of who He was. Do you see God as controlling all things for His own glory? That's who God is.
Wanda shine Allah kenan.
And that's His creation.
Wannan ko ita ce halittarsa.
Nicodemus, all he can think of is the physical things that are around him.
Nicodemus ko abubuwa da ke a bayyane gaban gare shi shine damuwar shi.
So he goes, what, a full-grown man's going to crawl up into his mother's womb? Because God, Christ, is talking about spiritual realities. Spiritual realities that cannot be seen by those who are carnal, those who are flesh. But he deceived himself. He was sure he was a child of God. Why would he have to be born again? He was already born a Jew. And Christ is saying, that doesn't matter. Especially the children that are here. It doesn't matter if your parents are the most faithful Christians in the world. That will not save you. The only thing that saves you is you have to be born again. Nicodemus thought he was fine because he was a Jew. Don't think you're fine because you're in a Christian village. A Christian village is just called that. Because there's some form of righteousness there. Not because everybody there is a Christian. Only those who have been born again. So Jesus continues in verse 5. Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God.
Ba zai iya shiga mulkin Allah ba.
To understand this verse, I think you need to have the understanding that the knowledge that Nicodemus did of the Old Testament. Remember, this is a time where John the Baptist is going around baptizing people. With the baptism of repentance. That their sins are being confessed and washed away. And Christ said, that's not enough. That's not enough. Ezekiel 36:25. I should have kept the finger in John. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. The picture of water in the Bible is this picture of being washed, having your sins removed. It's a picture of the gospel going forth and cleansing the nations. He says, this has to happen to you. You have to turn from your sin. You have to become clean. We want to skip that step. We want to say, I made a profession of faith. So therefore I'm saved. You can control your salvation no more than you can control your first birth. Jesus Christ said through Ezekiel that He will cleanse you with water, but He'll also do something else. He just won't turn you from sin. He'll do what it says in verse 26. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. People turn from their sin all the time. They get caught stealing at work. They get fired. They're embarrassed. And they never steal again. And that has nothing to do with salvation. The fact that you stopped sinning because you were caught might have nothing to do with salvation. People turn from their sins all the time because they're caught, because they're embarrassed. Because God in His great infinite mercy, He turned them and constrained their sin. But that is not enough. You must be born again. And it is the work of God. I will put my spirit within you. I'll take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. This is the work of God. He saves who He chooses to save, and He damns who He chooses to damn. What's that? He saves who he chooses to save, and he damns who he chooses to damn. He it says in verse 27, because this is what God does when he saves somebody, when he is born again. God says, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. This is what it means to be born again. You don't just turn from sin because the effects of sin in the world. God is very merciful. Not only are the wages of sin death, there's prices to pay in this world. Many people turn from their sin because of the prices to pay in this world. But they don't have a new heart. And they don't have a spirit. A Holy Spirit. That causes them to desire to walk in the commandments of God. That's what's required to be born again. You have to be turned from your sin. And you have to be given the Spirit of Christ. If not, you will not enter the kingdom of God. And I want to explain what it means to not enter the kingdom of God. Psalm 110. Psalm 110 is a psalm of David. Where David is testifying that there will be a greater King David to come. That there will be one who he's now, that he calls my Lord. And Jesus, Paul quotes this in Acts 2. Excuse me, Peter quotes this in Acts 2. So this happened when Jesus Christ ascended to heaven. There's promises that God, Christ, will rule the nations. Verse 2 says he will rule in the midst of his enemies. And verse 3 starts, your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. Ezekiel 36 says, his laws will be written on our hearts. Psalm 110 says we will willingly follow him. They're talking about the same thing. They're talking about the effects of being born again. They'll be your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. In the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. The sign of the people of God. Those who have been born again. Born again by the Holy Spirit. Is that they are a holy people. And then he describes what he does to everyone else. And remember, all the words of Scripture were dictated by Christ. He is the Word of God. And these are His words. When David is writing this, he is inspired by Christ. He uses the Holy Spirit, he uses angels, but it is his thought. And he talks about the great blessing of being part of the kingdom of God. And then he talks about what happens to everybody else. To those who are not born again by the water and the Spirit. Psalm 110:5. The Lord is at your right hand. He shall execute kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the nations. He shall fill the places with dead bodies. The first song that we had in this program was about the second coming of Christ. This is what he does at his second coming. He says at his first coming, this time I did not come with a sword. The next time he promises he will come with a sword. And he will fill the valleys with dead bodies. For everyone who is not in his kingdom. Are you born again? Everyone who is not born again will receive this punishment. And not just this. Their resurrected bodies with their soul will experience eternal death in the lake of fire where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Don't be like Nicodemus, trusting in the fact that you know the Scriptures. Trusting in the fact that everybody looks up to you as being holy. Jesus Christ is saying he has no part in the kingdom of heaven. Make sure you're not deceiving yourself. The only ones that will enter the kingdom of heaven are those who are born by water and spirit. When David says that he loves the law of God, that is a heart of flesh. You just do it because you're afraid you'll get caught if you break God's rules. Are you a volunteer in the day of judgment? Jesus Christ continues that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You can make every effort you want to be saved. But you can't do it. Flesh cannot beget spirit.
jiki ba za ta haifi ruhu ba.
It cannot happen.
Ba zai faru ba.
It doesn't matter what work you do.
Bai ma kamanci ko da wani aiki kake yi ba.
No work is enough.
Babu aiki da ya isa.
Because if you did every single perfect thing right, it's just your duty. It won't pay for the smallest sin. Flesh cannot save you. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. If the Holy Spirit causes you to be born again, you can't bear flesh again. You can't change and go back to what you were before. What is spirit can only beget spirit. The person who is working in the flesh. Well, those who appear to be working in the spirit. That start working in the flesh. They were always doing it in the flesh. Because if God chose to show mercy to you, you cannot overpower the will of God. If He takes the heart of stone out of your flesh and gives you a heart of flesh, you can't turn it back to a heart of stone any more than you can crawl back into your mother's womb. Verse
7.
Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Everybody in Israel was saying, we're the children of God. God has to save us. We're His people. We're the apple of His eye. They forget all the places that God said He was going to pour out His wrath on Israel. And they trusted in their mother's womb. They said, since my mother and father were Jews, I'm a Jew and I'm fine with God. So when Jesus Christ said, that's not how it works. Nicodemus marvels. We find out later Nicodemus is saved. He is saved later.
Okay.
When he goes and collects Jesus' body from the cross, when he's not hiding anymore from people knowing that he supports Jesus Christ, he understood what it meant to be born again. No longer was he trusting in his parents' beliefs. Or his parents' genes. Instead, he was trusting in Christ. Don't trust in your pastor. Don't trust in your father. Don't trust in your mother. You must trust in Jesus Christ. And don't marvel when I say this is the work of God and not your work. You're not participating. Nobody seeks God unless God draws them to Himself. No one would seek the one that they're in rebellion to. Unless God gives them a glimpse of His greatness, His majesty. When we preach the word, and I don't mean just standing in front of people preaching the word. I mean when you're witnessing to your neighbor. You need to teach them to fear God. That's a glimpse of the glory of God. When we see how great He is, when we see He's the explanation for everything in the world, He's why we have rulers, He's why we have births, He's why farms work, He's why there's fathers and sons, He's why there's husbands and wives. God has left a testimony to Himself through the whole world. They need to understand that God. You need to understand that that is who God is. He does all things for His glory. And if He was sitting here begging you, just seek me. Just seek me, please. Then you're the one with glory, not Him. Verse 8. The wind blows where it wishes. The wind blows where it wishes. And you hear the sound of it. But cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. God created the wind so that we could understand how much we control the Holy Spirit. If you think that God has to accept you because you prayed a prayer, then you better be able to demonstrate that you can control the wind. That you know where it came from and where it's going. God created the world so that we could understand who He is. And in Greek, the word translated spirit. It's the same as the word for wind. God blows His Spirit where He wills. And not because you want to be saved. If it's about you, you get the glory. It's about God. Because He did all things for His glory. Which means when He fills those valleys filled with dead bodies, He chose not to send His Spirit to every one of those people. Because He is glorified by pouring out His wrath because of their sin. The only response we can have to this God is not to think we can manipulate Him. All we can do is fall down before Him and worship Him. Jesus Christ said He came to the earth to gather a people that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. You need to know who God is. You need to understand the extent of His power. You need to understand the extent of your weakness so that you can truly fall down before Him and worship Him in spirit and in truth. When we do not have the right view of who God is, we don't worship God. When we exalt ourselves, our worship becomes about ourselves and not about God. What Christians need to do is have a bigger view of who God is and a true view of who they are. That is the most humbling thing in existence, is to know that there is no one that can stop God's will. That there's nothing you can do except what God causes you to do. Only when we recognize our absolute helplessness can we truly be meek. And blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. They shall inherit the earth. The better view we have, the bigger view we have of God, the more correct view we have of God, the more we pray with zeal, the more we destroy our sin with zeal, the more we desire to do God's work and to build His kingdom rather than our own. Understand who the God of the Scriptures is. Because that's where righteousness, peace, and joy are.
Verse 9.
No, actually, I was going to stop here tonight. As we conclude tonight, I want to turn to John 6:29. They're coming to Jesus and saying, how can we earn the kingdom of God? What works may we work to do the works of God? And at verse 29, Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him who was sent. That's what you must do. You must believe in Jesus Christ. And even though it is the Holy Spirit that saves, and there is nothing you can do except He chooses to show mercy to you, everyone has a duty to believe. Everyone has a duty to seek who God is. To believe in the God of the Scriptures. Make sure tonight that you believe in the God of the Scriptures. The sin of mankind from the beginning. Was that they wanted God to be made after their image. They wanted God to be made after their image. Rather than to accept that we have been made after the image of God. It is He who made us and not we ourselves. As much for the second birth as for the first birth. So your duty is to cry out to this God. To believe in this God. For there is no other name under heaven by which you may be saved. Make sure you understand what that means too. It doesn't mean that you just say Jesus Christ and this is a magic incantation that causes you to be saved. Jesus Christ is not a witch doctor. When he says, only by His name can you be saved. It's only by knowing who He is. Knowing what He has done. That's the only way you can be saved. Make sure you know this Christ. For it is your only hope. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you don't know Christ, seek Him in the Scriptures. Because all of them speak of Him. Let me pray. O Lord God, I pray that everyone here gets a better understanding of who You have declared Yourself to be. How we are nothing in Your hand. As David said, we are but worms, we are but dust. And no dust can control God. You took dust in the first place and blew Your Spirit in us. You gave us air so that we could breathe. And this is what You do when You save. You take a dead body and You breathe on us. And we live. Lord, I pray anybody here that does not know You, and I have no doubt there are many here who do not know You, open their eyes to see Your glory. Open their eyes to see Your majesty. Open their eyes so that they see how holy You are. Open their understanding so they see how filthy they are. And may Your Spirit blow so that they can be born again. So that they can receive Your Spirit and enter Your kingdom. And for those of us who do know You, who do have Your Spirit, give us the strength to die to ourselves. Give us the strength to put the old man to death. So whatever we say, whatever we do, whenever we eat or drink, every single thing that we do is for your glory. Increase our meekness, Lord. We ask this in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.